So I'm wondering, how many people here have ever found themselves in a situation where you're a little bit different from everybody around you? You don't feel quite like that you're part of the group or the same as everybody else, or you're coming at things from a different angle. We probably all felt like that. Maybe a football match where you're wearing black and orange and everybody else around you has got white and red cheering the other team. I had that happen in Scotland, in a pub watching an England-Scotland match. And yes, so I had to be very quiet and not give anything away. Maybe you have been the only old person at a Justin Bieber concert, or the only young person at a Cliff Richard concert, something like that. It's something that I've had quite a lot. As a scientist, I was often in a group of men looking at geology out in the Highlands. Lots of men with beards and wellies, and then me. And then sometimes in church circles as well, I find that I'm the only woman amongst some leaders. And so that's a common experience for me. But I was going to really concentrate on, you know, we've been to India recently, and I found myself in a group who would call themselves creatives. And I'll talk about that in a little while. Most of you know we went to India for just over 2 weeks. Been back about a week. And thank you so much, everybody, for praying before we went. I don't know if we've got the slides up and running. All right, so before we went, great, thank you, John. Hilary, you prayed that we would... it was a picture of lots of colour bombs being thrown about, and we found that it wasn't so much us throwing them, but we were receiving all these images of colour, and it was a bit like this all the time, lots of colour. Oh dear, it's not working. Turn it on, that would help. We found ourselves wandering through streets an awful lot and meeting the sort of people on the left, and these people on the right were lots of the people of the church where we went to, first of all. So lots of interesting people that we met. And it was great just to get amongst people. And Fiona was really bold at taking photos, so we have lots of photos of people. Lots of surprising things happened. I didn't expect to be riding about lots on the back of a motorbike without a helmet. Or squashed in one of these chuk-chuks that's on the left. You think you can... It looks like you could get two or three people in them, but they insist on you having eight. And standing on the buses, I've nearly went flying out the door several times, just with a rickety motion. When we arrived in India, I was absolutely astounded just in the car to see a monkey. I wasn't expecting monkeys, so that was surprising. You might have thought there might be monkeys, but I hadn't thought about it. And I was even more surprised when one came in my bedroom one night. So that was quite something. That's me on one of these third class in a train, absolutely packed full of people, and that was a bit of a challenge. So just to be in this confined place with lots of people, that was a bit of a challenge. And that's me. I'm sitting next to three Indian ladies, and that the blue thing behind me is the bench that I was sleeping on in the overnight for 14 hours. So that was a challenge. And the other challenges, lots of poverty, obviously lots of people asking for money, and very poor housing amongst lots of richer housing as well. But lots of inspiring things. We went to help in a church to start with, and it was just amazing to see lots of young people there as part of a community in that town, really, really worshipping God. And that was really, really encouraging. And lots more, which we can tell you about on Tuesday. But one of the things I loved was just being in the foothills of the Himalayas. Being a geographer, I just haven't seen the Himalayas before, and that was great, and lots of colour. So, in light of this, and in light of what happened, I would like to just read the creation story first. So, you might like to just open your ears afresh, and I'm going to read out. It takes a little while. Just relax and let it wash over you or speak into your heart. So it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning on the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land, but bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made stars. He set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So, just to pick out some things from that account, I felt it was important to read it because I'm going to talk about creativity, and I just wanted us to grasp the story of creation. So some of the words that were described and repeated there were fruitfulness, and multiplication, and the idea of seeds bearing more seeds and growing more plants and more seeds, abundance. And the fact that it's not wasn't just for that moment, it was for the future, now and the future. There was variety. If you remember the words all kinds, God created variety. And let's get hold of the idea again that he spoke into the darkness. He breathes life and speaks and creates. And there's somehow a link between the spirit breathing and moving and God's interaction with matter, how they came into being. The link between the spirit and material things. And we'll see later on in John, it says the word became flesh, doesn't it, when Jesus came into the earth. And just to think about our world today, we can identify darkness in the world and dryness and things dying and limited resources. But we know that God is the same God now as he was then, and he breathes into that. We look, if you look at the image there, it says in the creation story, God creates humans, and it said that we are in his image. It says, in our image, reflecting our nature. And we know from this and other scriptures that we are to make and be creative as people made in the image of our Creator. We're very much involved in that creation process that was started then. This is the verse Steve gave for us before we went away to India, but I want to focus on it now. It says, for you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. And that is part of this creative process. We create in partnership with God. And there's other instances in the Bible when Moses was making the tabernacle. There was a man called Bezalel that we read about, who was a creative person. It says of him, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic design. And then in Exodus, again, he has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, weavers of them, all skilled workers and designers. And this is true as Solomon built his temple as well. He was given, and it says, abundance of workers to make the temple that Solomon built. So they were given a special task, those particular people, and we can say that we have a particular task to do, or tasks to do, that God has given us. And God will give us those creative skills to fulfill that task. Just to say in the Bible that the word used to create in Hebrew is bara, and in the Greek it's kitso. And they used to denote that creativity that is ascribed to God. It's mysterious and miraculous when it's used in those instances. It says in Deuteronomy, inquire from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything been done like this great thing? That's God's creative act, or heard like it. So God's creativity is extra special. And the question is how we connect with that. Some people think God has created and we work with all the materials that he has created, a bit like Bezalel doing all the skillful making of the tabernacle. And other people think that we are like sub-creators. Because we're made in the image of God, we've got that creative power, spirit in us. And we certainly do have God's spirit in us. And it's a spirit that denotes newness. It's valuable, it transforms, it recreates, it creates, and it's lasting. So, I wonder how we connect with these passages that we've just read, these ideas. Can you today identify that amazing creativity in yourself? You are made in God's image. And do we see that creativity in the church and what we do as church? Do you recognise that creativity already working in the good works that God has given you to do? Maybe to a lesser or greater extent. Are you connecting with that idea? I wonder how you see yourself on that score. Up till recently, I've said things like, I am not a creative. I am not creative. I can't do anything arty. I'm a scientist. I'm a logical thinker. I wonder how many people identify with that. I wonder how many people have done the Church Values course. Can you remember looking at a picture, that a revolving person, to work out whether you were right or left-brained? And some people are left-brained or see it going, the dancer going round one day, and it's supposed to tell you that you're left-brained, and if it's going the other way, it's right-brained. So we have this idea, don't we, that some people are left-brained, of logical, rational, to do with numbers, that sort of thing, and others are more arty, crafty, creative, even musical. It's not quite like that. I was reading a book recently. It's not quite as simple as that, but this is what we have. And maybe we are a bit like that. Can anybody identify? Who's right-brained? Have a quick poll. Who thinks they're right-brained? Who thinks they're left-brained? Other people don't know. But perhaps we've fallen into one of those categories, a bit like me. I'm not creative, that's what I'm saying. But I feel like I'm being challenged. For a lot of us, our Christian experience is dominated by activities relating to that logical, words-orientated part of our brain. And the way that has taken us has been along less creative paths. So we've focused on listening, reading, speaking, and much of our activities in church have been in that realm. And it's not a bad realm, it's just I think we've neglected the other sorts of things. It's possible we've come to think about all the things we do, prayer, worship, mission, engaging with the word, in a very fairly narrow, prescriptive way. And I'm suggesting that there's other ways that we can do it, and I feel that that's something to move into. And what about church? I read a quote, you have to listen carefully to this one, and the quote says, if one were to ask an unbiased observer to name that institution in society which clearly espouses or embraces creativity, we can be sure that he would not name the present church, the church in its current state. This is an indictment of how we Christians feel about the mandate God has given to us for being creative. We do not embrace creativity as a way of life. We do not see it as having much to do with biblical living. Has that been true for you? Maybe so, maybe not. But we do know that God's creativity brings life and transformation. Some of you will know that I occasionally read out something from the Glasgow Prophetic Centre, and I felt that some of the readings or some of the words recently have been really relevant. So I'm going to read one out that seems relevant to me. And it starts off with a quote from 1 Corinthians, and it says, and my speech and my message were not plausible, not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then it goes to say, there is a surge of power being released through expressions of creativity in the earth. And that fits with what I'm thinking. Not just clever or crafty ways of communicating the nature of God, but ways that release his supernatural transformative power. There are expressions of God and his emotions that carry his spirit that you are to tap into, ways that are unconventional and even odd. Paintings are dropping, I think they mean being revealed or painted. that carry an anointing for instant emotional healing for all that look at him. Business plans are coming to some of you, and they will release order and provision to the business rooms they are presented in. There are teaching methods for those in the educational system that will carry divine peace and power to transform the lives of kids that come from tough family situations. Those in communication and marketing receive a fresh wave of ideas for communicating with power. Church leaders receive the wind of the Spirit of God to cast vision and lead with demonstrations of signs, wonders and miracles. Mums and dads receive an ability to raise children in homes filled with the electric power of God. And it ends with, you are creative. You are made in the image of the creative God. Now receive a power surge that is coming to you, that which you express God through. Power surge that's coming to you, that which you express God through. So that is what I am connecting with, or have been over the last weeks. He's given us all that quality to be creative. As children, we all have it. If you think about yourself at nursery school, playing with pots and sands and paint, I wonder what happened in some cases. Our creativity is taking a hit. Maybe somebody put you on the maths table at nursery school rather than the arts one. Or maybe somebody mistook a dog you drew for an elephant, something like that. What put you off? Why did you shrink back? Maybe others seemed better at all the creative stuff. Maybe you're just too shy, or felt you were, or not good enough. There's all sorts of possibilities. But that situation can be redeemed. Let's just think about how Jesus did the things that he did. He is full of creativity as we read the Gospels. We see him engaging, really engaging with the people and environment he's in different ways. Much of his teaching is through storytelling, isn't it? He paints wonderful pictures, parables of things that people can identify with. He's creative with the materials that are to hand, turns water to wine, and the bread and the fish feed many people. His teaching, well, he speaks from a mountain, he speaks from a boat, he speaks in homes, he draws in the sand, he speaks while talking to people, lots of different ways. And we can see just in the way that he heals people, it's in a whole variety of different ways. Who had imagined using spit and dirt to heal a blind man? So he was really doing what he saw God, his Father, do, and connecting with that in a really creative way. So he did that with Jesus. God did that with Jesus. And we have all got these personal tasks, good things, good works to do collectively. He's made us all different, with different gifts and experiences. But we all have that potential for innovation in our DNA because we're made in his image. And he's put the Holy Spirit in us. We have this amazing creative spirit living in us and running through us. He breathes life and ideas into us. He gives energy to respond to those ideas. And his power, the Holy Spirit power, brings transformation as we do these works. Thinking of Ephesians 2:10 again, you are a masterpiece. You have the ability to create good things in the garden, the kitchen, cyberspace, the boardroom, nursery, the home. There is that creativity inside you. So, going back to my India trip, let's have a look. So, the second part of my trip was a gathering of creatives. And I don't know what you think of when I say the word creatives. In my mind, creatives tended to be fairly scary people, very flamboyant, sometimes wearing weird clothes, unpredictable. And I felt I wasn't like that. But I was with a bunch of people who had collected because they want to see creativity highlighted in the church and used. So there was an art therapist there, somebody who runs an art gallery, musicians, a couple of drama people. And I wasn't really surprised to find myself there, because I don't know, I've spoken about this in the past, but on my journey, last year we met with somebody who had lost a part of their brain. Steve and I went to pray with this guy, and he had been a very logical, rational person, but that side of his brain had been removed, and he'd had to learn to function using the other side, the right brain. And while we were there, Jesus really spoke into that and said, that is a picture of the church. We're too left-brained, and we've got to start using the other part of it. So for me, going to India was the next step of what God was doing. My experience was largely of agendaless meetings. There was lots of art stuff out and a safe space, lots of materials. And people were just responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, using this space, this materials, in creative ways. And to be honest, I was quite out of my comfort zone. We were invited to act out scenarios, and it was a bit of a challenge. But certain things happened. There was one point where somebody said, somebody was needing healing, and we ended up acting out this person as Queen Esther, and she was being attended by all the attendants. And it sounds a bit bizarre, but because of that action, the person received healing. She was attended to. God attended to her through the people acting out this scenario. And that's not something I've encountered before, a real healing through drama. And then for myself, I don't know if you remember, but before we went away, Julia had a picture of me having to go through a door while I was in India. But part of this gathering, when we got there, somebody described a door. And on this side of the door, my side of the door, our side of the door, it was all grey and drab. And she said it was like the secret garden, where it was all overgrown, the door was overgrown. But to go through the door would be a door into real colour. And this was without me having mentioned it. So during the time, I found myself acting out this going through the door. I had to go up to the door. I was turning the handle. I was pulling away the vegetation. I was totally immersed in this, acting out this scenario. And when I went through the door, it was all colour. And I did have an encounter with Jesus there. And I do believe that that is the way God has brought me into a new realm of freedom. It was God's way, using drama, for me to be set free in another measure. And I wasn't really expecting that either. Another time, we were led to paint. And these are the things that happened to me. For the whole conference, we had an image of a dandelion seed, dandelion with seeds. You probably can't see it very well. And I might have that sort of thing. And the idea was that God was breathing on these creative people on earth, and seeds going out into the world for new projects and new creativity. So at one point, I found myself drawing and painting. I haven't a clue how to use materials, so it was quite a challenge for me. I crayoned it and then started using paint for the seeds. And it's not about the outcome. It's only a plain little diagram, art piece. But in the process, I was totally engaged in intercession for all the different projects. I could feel them. I could see the seeds being planted, and it was an amazing experience of intercession. Normally we use words, don't we, or groans, but this was actual painting, really got me into deep intercession for the projects we were thinking about and that were to come. Go back a bit. One thing that was important was to do things collectively. That's one lesson that I feel I want to bring back. Collective art. So we all did our footprints, mine are the orange ones, and made a work of art that's going to be displayed in an art cafe, just to show, make a point, really. So my conclusion from my experience, I'll just read these out. These were the two statements that were written on the board. Change is coming and a momentum is building for creatives to take their rightful place in this revival. And we are about to see a shift in how we spread the gospel news because we have, what does it say? Learned to partner with the Holy Spirit through creative cultural languages. And this was what we were about there. So my conclusion was that God was stretching me into these things in a different way. And that really happened to me, and I could see why it was important. And I felt that he wanted me, my job, is to try and stretch other people into this, stretch the body of Christ into these areas. So that's what our trip was about. Now, just to make a bit of a challenge, how would you respond to all this today? Now, if I was sitting where you are a little while ago, I would have thought, not for me, or I can't do that. And I just would like to say, just open your hearts and minds to the possibility and allow God to breathe on you. Breathe on you. Take a risk. Maybe use some opportunities to stretch yourselves and maybe just do it. Some suggestions. Are you able to find your creative sweet spot? What makes you feel alive? What could you do all day? Something creative that would be for God's glory, his kingdom works, his purposes. Is there anything that you can think of just now? Sing, yeah. I'm sure different ones have got things that you've always wanted to do, never tried or never dared, or thought you weren't good enough. What is God speaking into today for you? What can you do? Speak it into being. Create it with words. I am a singer. I will sing. I will dance. God has given me those gifts. Speak it into being. Try keeping your creative tank full. I've got another picture there. If you look at lots of paintings, if you look at creation lots, you start to reflect what you look at and what you immerse yourself in. And this was an experiment. Obviously, they're ants that have gone to different coloured jellies and they are becoming like what they're ingesting, inputting. So keep your creative tank full. Feed your inner artisan. I read that quote a little while ago. Feed your inner artisan. Believe God for this breath of creativity. That's what happened when I was away. God wants to breathe on you today. And I'm going to pray that at the end. Another thing to think of, it's not about you, it's for others, it's for God's glory, it's for other people's delight. On Thursday, we had some soaking, and we've got a session called Inspired every other Thursday, and we get the paints out and put some soaking music on. And one of the people that was there this week was feeling lots of compassion towards another person. So during the session, she was able to do an art piece to actually give to this person to help them. They're in a difficult place. Incidentally, I was there too, and we were praying for one of Pat's friends called Imogen. And this is what I did for 45 minutes an hour. And I just wrote her name, but Doing art enabled me to concentrate on praying, focused praying. And as you can see, there's lots of waves. They're meant to be waves. So I must have painted dozens and dozens of waves going over Imogen. And that enabled me to play in a concerted way. Every wave I was praying for Imogen, pray in a concerted way for 45 minutes just for that, just for her. And I found that really remarkable. I wouldn't have been able to sustain that necessarily with words. So that really...
So why only the ego?
That's what they call her. Become a creative. That's my next suggestion. Remember, our creativity stems from our Father. It's not all down to us. We're made in His image. And recognise that we're part of that creative process that He set off. Tell yourself, I am creative. Say to the person next to you, you are creative. Let's just do that. And if you think it's too late, the creative tide can be turned. I don't want to speak that over anybody thinking that. I love the collective creativity thing. Down in East Hull, I know there's a group that sit and they use scraps to make things together. And just that process of making stuff together has made and developed a community where people can talk and talk about Jesus as well. Give yourself permission to explore. Just start off and do something like I did. Silence your inner critic. You might be saying, I haven't got the patience or the time, it's too late, I haven't got the money or the gifts, but silence that voice. And maybe some of us need to regain our childlike spirit in this area. And allow yourself to be stretched into this area. That's the last thing I want to say. So, be creative. Let's close, and I just really want to pray that that will affect us today and start being manifested in what we do and how we live to God's glory. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are a creator, God. And thank you that you've made us in your image. Thank you for your Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you're so creative, so full of energy and life and power and newness. And thank you that as you are in us and flow through us, that you want to invest all that in good works for us to do, good things for us to do, to make, to dream up. And I pray that as we sit here, that your breath will come upon us, that you'll breathe that creativity, more of it, into our lives. Fan into flame those creative things that you've put in us. Help us bring glory to you more and more. We want to see this fruitfulness, multiplication, variety in what we do and who we are as church. So I pray that you'd breathe on us even today. Amen.